From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Lindsay Brolini with a quick look at your state and local news. One of Alaska's oldest and influential voices in fisheries and fiscal policy has died. Clem Tillian was 96 years old. His death was announced on social media by former Governor Bill Walker. Tillian served nearly two decades in the Alaska legislature, including as Senate president, and he was first elected just 3 years after statehood. Working with Governor Jay Hammond, he was a key figure in the legislature's creation of the Permanent Fund, and he was the only legislator to vote against repealing the Alaska's state income tax in 1980. He later described his colleague's choice as a
monumental disaster for Alaska. It left a whole section of our people paying nothing, and all these people that come up to work in our country going home without paying anything, and it leaves the citizenry with no responsibility to the government that they're supporting.
Tillian was also a commercial fisherman, and as recently as earlier this year, he was still placing calls to state officials to give them a piece of his mind on fishery issues. Tillian was born in New York and came to Alaska in 1947 after serving in the South Pacific during World War II. He ended up in Halibut Cove, across Ketchumak Bay from Homer, arriving after a very long hike.
No matter what you do with it, boiled owl is not very good. And whoever said eat crow had tried it.
A renowned storyteller, Tillian remained in good health into his 90s, and he was spotted at the Alaska Capitol as recently as a few years ago. Tillian was still entertaining visitors at his Halibut Cove home at his 96th birthday this year, according to photos posted to social media. Hunters in Juneau are pushing back on proposals that could restrict their deer hunting rights in parts of Southeast Alaska. The Southeast Alaska Subsistence Regional Advisory Council says its proposals are responding to food security concerns from villages. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports.
Pelican resident Terry Huerta testified this month to the Regional Subsistence Council from the tiny hamlet on Chichagof Island. He says it's been difficult for guys like him to fill his freezer.
I don't know. Things sure seem to have slowed down around here. And all I hear nowadays is a lot of hunters want to come in here. And it seems like I think the residents in Pelican should have a priority on hunting around here. I'll tell you that much.
He was supporting a proposal to restrict hunters from urban areas that hunt along Lisianski Inlet. It was one of a handful that would restrict deer hunting in areas popular with state licensed hunters from bigger towns. The strongest measure would be an outright closure of the southern portion of Admiralty Island to urban hunters. That'd be to give more opportunity to subsistence hunters living in nearby Angoon. That's where Councilmember Albert Howard lives. He says hunters coming from Juneau have access to cheaper fuel to run their skiffs, and if they need affordable meat, there are supermarkets like Fred Meyer and Costco.
If an Angoon resident fails at hunting, I don't know how else to say it, but they're SOL. And we're people that don't like to depend on anybody, and I don't want to go ask anybody for help.
These rules would apply to federal lands. Much of Southeast Alaska is in Tongass National Forest, and federal law gives priority to subsistence hunting for those living outside of the urban areas of Juneau and Ketchikan. Everywhere else in Southeast, from tiny Pelican to larger Sitka and Petersburg, are considered rural. State and federal wildlife agencies opposed added restrictions on non-rural hunters. That's because data shows the deer populations are relatively healthy. Written opposition to the measures was overwhelming, with more than 50 letters coming in against. Territorial Sportsmen, a Juneau-based hunting and fishing organization, has lobbied hard against the proposals and encouraged its membership to chime in. Ryan Beeson is the group's president. He told Coast Alaska the restrictions would be divisive.
It's a big concern to us that we want to promote the rights to all hunters in Southeast and not limit each other. I think what these proposals are doing is creating conflict between user groups, and I think we could all come together and work on this as one.
The proposed restrictions on non-rural deer hunters were recommended by the council in amended form. They include urban hunters being allowed to hunt for bucks only, with a reduced bag limit on areas of Chichagof Island near Hoona and Pelican. State tidelands would be exempt, meaning all licensed hunters could still cruise the beaches looking for legal deer in season. Regional Advisory Council Chair Don Hernandez, who lives on the northern tip of Prince of Wales Island, told Coast Alaska the council has been hearing from villagers concerned about the rising costs of fuel and the aging rural populations.
There's worry about, you know, the ability of people in these villages to get the food that they require at a cost that they can afford.
He says he understands the wildlife agency's opposition. After all, on paper, the deer herds are relatively healthy. But he says the regional advisory councils were set up to consider more than population surveys and the number of animals taken.
The agencies, they rely on data. And the council, we listen to people. And we hear what, you know, the people's stories are, you know, of their experiences. And we take that into consideration as well. You might call that, you know, traditional ecological knowledge, but it's basically the, you know, the stories of what people are telling us about what the actual conditions are, you know. So we weigh that more heavily, I think, than the agencies do.
Final details of the recommendations approved earlier this month remain unclear, even to some council members and observers, but will be published in coming weeks after the minutes of the multi-day meeting are finalized. But those recommendations are just that. They're not final yet. They'll be forwarded to the Federal Subsistence Board, which in mid-April will consider whether to incorporate these in the federal hunting regulations as early as next fall. If they are adopted, it could limit deer hunting opportunities over large swaths of Southeast Alaska that had long been popular with sport hunters from larger towns. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Public opinion surveys on tourism in Juneau are wrapping up tomorrow. The results are likely to influence how local policymakers try to manage the visitor industry, big cruise ships especially. Alex Pierce is working on the city's Visitor Industry Task Force recommendations. This survey was one of them. He says the city used to do similar surveys more frequently in the 1990s and early 2000s.
Recognizing that data was really helpful for us, we resurrected the survey with the intent of some of the questions remaining the same so that we could compare data year over year.
Some of the holdover questions from older surveys are about people's opinions on the industry's impact on them, overall and in terms of crowding, vehicle congestion, and noise. The survey also asks fresh questions about hot-button cruise ship topics, possible limits on cruise ship traffic, Norwegian Cruise Lines plan to develop a fifth large cruise ship berth, and a possible ban on hot berthing at the two big floating docks the city owns. Hot berthing is when more than one ship uses a berth in a single day. Pierce says the city paid McKinley Research about $34,000 to conduct the survey. Results should be released next month. City officials could use survey results to back up decisions on Norwegian's plan for a new dock. One leverage point has to do with an existing long-term land use plan that may not allow for Norwegian's new dock. Pierce says after the survey results are out, city staff will draft changes to the plan for elected officials to consider. Pierce says she's also looking forward to the city manager's office filling a new tourism manager position. The job posting went live recently and closes October 29th.
For whatever reason, haven't been as proactive as we could or probably should have been for the last decade and a half or so. So creating this position is really an effort to be more proactive and engaged in tourism management issues.
The person is also expected to run with other task force recommendations, like taking a more active role in scheduling ship visits at city-owned docks, creating new rules for tour permits on city streets and sidewalks, and encouraging tour operators to stick to standards for environmental stewardship, sustainability, and community impacts. An Alaska State Trooper from Soldotna has been arrested and charged with 7 counts of sexual abuse of a minor. State troopers say 39-year-old Benjamin Strahan has been working for the department since June 2020. Troopers say Kenai police reported an allegation of sexual abuse of a minor on Saturday. Troopers say they immediately opened an investigation that found probable cause that Strahan had abused multiple victims over the past year. Troopers say Strahan was placed on administrative leave until the case is resolved. Colonel Brian Barlow, director of the Alaska State Troopers, said that the agency couldn't release the number of victims who had come forward.
At this point, this investigation is literally still ongoing, and at this point, that is a critical investigative, point or piece of information that cannot release at this time.
Barlow said troopers are asking anyone who thinks they might be a victim to come forward. Strayan was arrested Wednesday and is being held at Wildwood Correctional. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Lindsay Brolini.